It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. We have so much to get into over the course of the next 4 hours. Josh Vernier is going to join us on the show. The play-by-play commentator for the Atlanta Falcons is going to be on the show. Nate Taylor is going to be on the show today. We're going to talk some baseball, going to talk some pro football, some college football, and we'll have some fun along the way. There is so much to get into on this Red Friday. It might be a Blue Friday. Who knows what it is, but we got you covered here on The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. You want to know how I know that we have you covered? We have not one but two chances for you to win a pizza today. Here's the first one.
Pizza time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. 913-586-7965. Call number six wins a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They lovingly use 100% whole milk mozzarella, all organic tomato sauce with locally grown fresh ingredients, all made by KC guys who both know and love pizza. So whether you're hungry enough for a whole pie or just a slice or two, be sure to visit them now at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza TASCIO.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends that if you want some of the best pizza in Kansas City and you are excited about a busy sports weekend in Kansas City, Sporting is in town. The Royals are in town. The Current are in town. Missouri plays a home game this weekend. It is very much a busy sports week here locally on The Drive. Let's start with this. For those of you that watch the television show Game of Thrones or House of the Dragon, you know that it is a balance of peacetime and then wartime. I am telling you that peacetime for the Kansas City Chiefs have ended in that regard. The Chiefs have been able to hang up a banner for 63 consecutive NFL games in which you knew who their left tackle was. Now, you guys remember the last time you were unsure about who the Chiefs' left tackle was. It was Mike Rimmers in the Super Bowl. And we all thought, man, you know what? They can scheme around it. They'll be okay. They were not okay. They did not scheme around it. They had their most embarrassing loss of the Mahomes era, and they lost the Super Bowl. And since that point, Brett Veach and Andy Reid, they have made every decision to create peacetime when it comes to that position. They went out and traded for Orlando Brown. They spent second-round picks, third-round picks. They picked up Donovan Smith. It has been peacetime for 63 games at the left tackle position for the Kansas City Chiefs. Peacetime has ended. They do not know who their left tackle is. I'm going to play for you what Andy Reid had to say. Rob and I thought this felt a little bit off. On Wednesday, when Andy Reid met with the media, he seemed very noncommittal about who their offensive lineman is. Yesterday, whenever their offensive coordinator met with the media, he felt very noncommittal on who their offensive lineman was going to be. We all knew Friday was when you make that announcement. We were going to get two updates today. We were going to find out about Kareem Hunt. They answered our question. He's not going to play on Sunday night, and we had a question about who the left tackle is going to be. They gave you the answer. They do not know who it is.
We'll keep Kareem down this game. The two tackles will both have an opportunity to get in there this game, the left tackles.
You know the age-old saying, if you have two quarterbacks, then you have no quarterbacks. The Kansas City Chiefs have told you what they feel today is their biggest weakness. That's not to say that in week 11 they won't have this figured out or when they get to the postseason, but with this declaration and that both of them are going to play, they have now told you what they think their weakness is. They have the cornerback situation figured out. Jalen Watson has emerged as their number two corner. There has been no other position on the field where I would say the check engine light is flashing. We saw it screaming at us on Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals. And they have just told you, we don't have the answer right now. We are still in the course of figuring it out. If you ever wanted the example that the Chiefs maybe use the regular season to kind of tinker a little bit as we get closer and closer to the playoffs and deeper into the regular season, it's this. You know what they're having? They're having a training camp battle during the regular season. They spent 4 months telling us that everything was perfectly fine at left tackle. We then got a chance to see for ourselves. It's not fine. Now, they're going to go back and reevaluate. I think right now it is fair to put left tackle as a question mark. You know how in college depth charts sometimes they'll put either or at the quarterback position when they don't want you to know who it is? So I'm taking him at his word. Maybe you're not. 913-586-7965. Maybe you think this is gamesmanship and that Kingsley is going to play all the snaps in this game. I don't know why then they just couldn't come out and say it. With the way that they sat him down in week two and now looking ahead to this week, I don't think they have a clear and direct answer on who their left tackle is going to be. And going on the road against a team that I think is pretty decent in the Atlanta Falcons, that is certainly going to be something to watch. We'll get back to Chiefs and Falcons here coming up in a bit when we're joined by their color commentator for the Falcons Radio Network. A couple of days ago, we put Royals Price is Right to bed. We will put another drive staple to bed coming up in just a bit. But before we do that, I want to tell you guys that the Royals have been given a gift from the baseball gods. Yes, they have been given a gift from the baseball gods. They are going up against Mason Black today. Now, some of you might be asking, who's Mason Black? Well, let me tell you who Mason Black is. My friends, he is 0-4 on the season. He doesn't have a win. Baseball season's almost over. I'm here to tell you that Mason Black this season has a 7.07 ERA this season. I'm here telling you that the Royals have gotten a gift from the baseball gods. The pitcher they are going up against today is terrible. He has pitched 28 innings. He has given up 37 hits. He has given up 22 earned runs. This kid's not good. If there was anything that could get this offense back going, could get this offense back humming and get them on board, it is somebody like Mason Black. If you were worried, if you were nervous, and then you take a quick look at who the probable pitcher is, hopefully this calms some of your nerves. I think for the most part, this show has remained very even-keeled on the Kansas City Royals. That's how we like to be. Even-keeled. If they can't get going against this guy, who has been getting beat like a pinata this season, they got serious problems. This is a game that you are in undeniable favorite with Michael Wacha going up against Mason Black. I think we're going to see 25,000 people out there. We know the weather's not going to be good this weekend. This might be the last chance for a lot of us to see the Royals this season at home. I think people are going out there to the stadium today. You guys got to get going against Mason Black. We gave you guys the numbers yesterday. We don't got to go over all of them today. They're two games up. With nine to go, figure it out. You've got six consecutive games against teams who have a losing record, and the Washington Nationals, they're terrible. Figure out a way to win. Coming up in about 5 minutes, we're going to head to the ATL and be joined by their color commentator for the Falcons Radio Network. But before we do that, we have to do this for the final time, for the last time this season.
We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
Carrington today's random Royals lineup takes us back to the last time it was September 20th and the Royals were in the race. It is 2013. Here's today's random Royals lineup. Leading off for the Royals in left field, Alex Gordon.
He definitely got two hits today.
No hits today.
Okay, never mind.
Batting second at first base, Eric Hosmer. Batting third, the center fielder, Lorenzo Cain. Batting fourth, the designated hitter, Billy Butler.
Country breakfast.
Batting fifth, behind the plate, Salvador Perez. Batting sixth, at second base, Emilio Bonifacio.
Oh boy, this about to fall off a cliff.
Batting seventh, at third base, Mike Moustakas.
Okay. Mike Moustakas hitting seventh. Things weren't going so hot.
Batting eighth, the shortstop, Alcides Escobar.
Things weren't going so hot.
And batting ninth on this date, in right field, Justin Maxwell.
Hey, Justin Maxwell. That grand slam's coming up in this date in Royals history. It's coming up. It's right around the corner.
By the way, the Royals won this day 2-1 on a great start from Irvin Santana. They beat the Rangers.
You know what? I hope history repeats itself today against the San Francisco Giants. Coming up on the other side, let's head to the ATL to be joined by Dave Archer. He does the color commentary for the Atlanta Falcons, getting you ready for Sunday Night Football.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into the Drive on a Red Friday. Let's take a trip to Atlanta and be joined by Dave Archer. He does color commentary for the Falcons Radio Network. Dave, happy to have you join us today.
Thanks, man. Good to be with you.
So the Falcons have had a little bit of quarterback uncertainty since Matt Ryan is retired and joined you and I in the media. You now pick up Kirk Cousins. We all know his track record coming from Washington and also Minnesota. What has adding Kirk Cousins meant to that organization?
Well, it's a stabilizer, certainly. He's an attention to detail guy. I mean, 12 years in the National Football League, and the success that he's had individually, the numbers he's been able to put up, some of those things lended a lot of credibility to who he is. But when he came in, I don't think a lot of us knew what kind of person he was until maybe you saw that quarterback series that was on Netflix, and you kind of got more of an inside look into what Kirk Cousins was all about. I mean, you saw a few clips here and there, you like that coming in off the field when he was Washington and different places like that. But I think a lot of people didn't realize how thoughtful a guy he is, what an incredible teammate he is. And I think that's the biggest thing he's brought to the table is he wants to accentuate the guys around him. And I know that's, I mean, maybe that's cliche to say, or a lot of people think, well, that's the way all quarterbacks are. But there's a lot of quarterbacks that are really kind of hung up on what they're doing. And then you're a subsidiary of that if you're playing around him. This guy is a service-oriented dude. He wants Drake London to be good. He wants Bijan Robinson to be great. And I think that bringing that attitude in, what can I do to maybe take you to another level in your game, really was a breath of fresh air. Because you're right, the last couple of years it's been a revolving door at quarterback and really uncertainty at quarterback.
Right now we're talking to Dave Archer. He is the color commentator for the Falcons Radio Network. It feels like that win was really necessary for really two entities. The Falcons as an organization, they don't have a lot of wins like that. It's sort of validation for the decision to go out and get Kirk Cousins. It also feels like there is a belief, a stigma around Kirk Cousins in those big primetime moments that he can't get it done. And for him to take his team on the road, down the field in less than 2 minutes with no timeouts, it seems like that could be one of those games that becomes a catalyst for Atlanta's season.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think all of that is true. There's no question about that. I think Kirk, he was 3-10 in Monday night games, I believe, although he had won three of his last four primetime games. So he's won 4 of 5 now, and obviously that bodes well with Kansas City coming in on Sunday night, that he's had some success here recently in primetime games. But there's no question. Everything you're saying there, it's a young football team. Talking about you've burned draft picks the last 3 years of the first round on offensive weapons, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Bijan Robinson. Those guys had some success in college, but really have not realized any success with the Atlanta Falcons, and really have kind of their growth as players have been stunted because of the quarterback play and really what we were offensively. So all of that is a benefit, and then to Kurt to kind of I don't know, credibility attached to it. When you make that happen, when something like that happens for a team, it can be a catalyst. I think there's no question. The one thing we can't do here in Atlanta is overplay it. It's a cool moment. It was a great celebration after the game. But, hey, in this league, it's not for long. You know, you got to get ready and get ready to go. And this is a short week. You got the Super Bowl champs coming to town, the best quarterback on the planet coming in here. They've got to be ready to go. They got to flush that out of the system. Remember the feelings, because you want to keep that feeling, but then you got to rekindle that again this weekend.
Right now we're talking to Dave Archer with the Falcons Radio Network. Let's move forward to Sunday Night Football, Chiefs and Falcons. Dave, it feels to me like Bijan Robinson is really the key to everything that they do. He's a guy that can run for 100 yards. He could catch for 75 yards out of the backfield. He is one of the true Swiss Army knives, do-everything backs in this league.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. I mean, it was pretty cool on Monday night to see he and Saquon Barkley on the field at the same time. Those two guys are very similar players. They can do it all. And even to the extent where Bijan Robinson made two key blocks in the game. In fact, the touchdown pass that Cousins throws to Mooney in the third quarter, I believe. That's a play that Bijan Robinson steps up and picks up the blitzy linebacker. So a lot of other stuff maybe that goes unsung, like blocking and those kind of things. He had a chip block on the edge to help provide Cousins some more time to throw the football. So, yeah, the ball in his hand, certainly a difference maker. He is there's no question he's a catalyst to blending the run game with the pass game. There's no question about that. Tyler Algier is a guy that comes in off the bench, and as much as people say it's thunder and lightning with the great speed and the versatility that Bijan brings to the table, and then Tyler Algier comes in as that bowling ball, bang it back at 225 pounds. There's a lot of similarities to them, too. They both can make people miss in a phone booth. They both can catch the ball in the backfield. So it's a good 1-2 punch at running back, but certainly Bijan Robinson is the headliner.
When you look at the passing game, who do you see kind of the catalyst in that? Is it Bijan and his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield? Drake London? I mean, it feels like it's a really well-balanced attack with Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Ray McCloud. You pick him up from San Francisco. Darnell Mooney from Chicago. He played well on Monday Night Football. It feels like Kirk Cousins has about 4 to 6 weapons at his disposal.
Well, and that's the key, right? I mean, that's something that you want as a quarterback, is to be able to have different guys that can affect the game and maybe win the game for you. I mean, we haven't even really talked about Kyle Pitts. I mean, Kyle is as good a tight end, pass-catching tight end, as you're going to see. We just haven't seen enough of it. We saw it his rookie year, and then his growth has been stunted based on quarterback play. We're hoping that's going to blossom here with Kirk. It hasn't yet in the first 2 weeks. He's caught a couple of passes. He caught a couple of key moments, got a touchdown pass against the Steelers. But it's really been a few far between. Drake London, we saw Drake London, some of the things he can do the first 2 years of his career. He's got like 140 catches in his first two seasons. But still, the effect of a game and winning a game like he did on Monday night, those things are coming. And then you bring in, like you said, Mooney and Ray McCloud, who've been around the league. They've had some moments in their career, but no really star moments. So it's a blend of guys that are kind of coming together to try to develop an identity with one another. And Kirk Cousins is the key. He's the guy that's distributed. He talked about openly after the game that he was disappointed that he didn't get more people involved. So that's, again, his service-oriented background and him wanting to get everybody involved in the game is going to help him, but it's certainly going to bring these guys out and let them be known a little bit more as mainline guys.
We're talking to Dave Archer, the color commentator for the Falcons Radio Network, here for a couple of more minutes. From a defensive perspective, how do you think Atlanta matches up with Kansas City?
Well, hey, that's always the trick, right? I mean, because the quarterback is a different dude. I think that anybody that heard the press conference with Raheem Morris this week, he called Patrick an alien because you just don't see him. I mean, he's a different kind of guy. Yeah, he's the best player on the planet. He can do stuff when things are off schedule. He can do stuff on schedule. And so he seems to be able to accentuate whoever he plays with. And now the cast of characters that he's got around him with the two young receivers that can run. Obviously, Kelce is a guy that can completely break your back. And you wonder what's going to happen at running back Pacheco. That's a tough loss, losing Pacheco for a few weeks. But, you know, Kareem Hunt comes in, a guy that's familiar with the system. So there's a lot to do defensively for the Falcons. Falcons are much better up front than they've been in recent years. Matthew Judon coming in is a legitimate problem from a pass protection standpoint. Grady Jarrett's back, who's a big-time inside rusher and creates problems. I think they like all three levels of their defense. They got linebackers that can run. The two safeties are probably, you could argue, that they're probably the two of the best safeties in the National Football League. That might be one of the best duos with Justin Simmons and Jesse Bates at the safety spot. J.J. Terrell solid at the corner. So I think they like their defense. Their defense has played well the first 2 weeks. Got our first turnover, which was a key one. Jesse Bates gets the interception to win the game last year after his all-pro season last season. And six interceptions, so that side of it's coming around. They want to get some more sacks and some more turnovers, but they're hoping that'll come. But it's a solid unit. Jimmy Lake's done a good job of them, with Hugh Morris chipping in there as a former D coordinator with the L.A. Rams. So there's a lot of concentration on that side of the ball, and they did a lot of upgrading on that side of football. So I think they feel good about the matchup. I mean, as good as you can feel about the Super Bowl champs coming in to find a way to win just about any possible way. So I think they realize that this is a huge challenge, but they're excited about the opportunity.
Two final questions here, Dave. The first one is, give me an X factor for the Falcons on the offensive end. Give me somebody on the defensive end, because you got a lot of weapons. There's a lot of speed with Xavier Worthy, Mecole Hardman. They have the best tight end in the National Football League and Travis Kelce. There's a lot of weapons. Who's somebody that needs to play well on the offensive side and the defensive side for the Falcons?
Well, I would lean on the guy I mentioned earlier, right? Is Kyle Pitts, because we have not seen him burst out. He had a really good training camp. He looked a lot like the rookie in 2021 that went for over 1,000 yards and made the Pro Bowl. I think he's due for a burst-out type game. And looking at the tape against New England, it looked like Burrow was able to get the football to the tight end some in that game. I think that he's a matchup problem because of his size and his wingspan. He's about due to burst out and have a game. So I guess I would lean towards Kyle Pitts in that group. Defensively, you mentioned the different weapons that's going to happen. I think the linebacker core and the safeties are going to have to be keys. I know that's not one per particular person, but I guess I'd lean on those two safeties, Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons, because of the effect that they can have potentially on changing coverage, maybe trying to make things a little bit confusing if you can do that to a guy that's of the caliber that Patrick Mahomes is. But trying to take Kelce away, don't let Kelce break your back, keep drives alive. Those are the kind of things. But I think it's going to have to be a team effort on defense. I don't think you can pick one guy out that's going to make a difference for Atlanta defensively. They just got to try to hold on to the rope and slow Kansas City down.
That is Dave Archer joining us on the show today. He is the color commentator for the Falcons Radio Network, getting you ready for Sunday Night Football. Chiefs and Falcons. You can catch that on NBC. Dave, great stuff today. Appreciate the insight on the Falcons. I think this is going to be a close game. This was one of the games that we asked this question on the show leading into the season. If I give you $1 million and I tell you you have to pick the Chiefs' first loss, what game would you pick? I picked Atlanta. I think the Chiefs are walking into a tough spot here, and they're also banged up. I think this is going to be a really, really difficult win for Kansas City to leave with.
Well, I hope you're right from an Atlanta perspective. I just hope it's a great football game for the fans to watch. I think it will be. And both these teams have played in close games the first 2 weeks, so I think that they're both ready to play one down to the wire.
That is Dave Archer joining us on the show today. Dave, great stuff. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, man. Good to be with you.
Rob, do you think that I am maybe a little too worried and too nervous about this game? I'm looking at the next two games that they have, and I know I have the nickname Chargers Dot, but we'll see what the health and status is of Justin Herbert. If Herbert's not healthy, then that is not a game that I am worried about. The Chiefs are not losing the Easton Stick. But I think about this game. Chiefs coming in the more banged up of the two teams. Left tackle uncertainty, wide receiver. Now we know the status of Hollywood Brown. He's not going to be in this game. Isaiah Pacheco is also out. So their offense is not what we think it's going to be 4 or 5 weeks from now. You're going on the road to play this Atlanta team. Sunday night football just feels like a place that you know is going to be rocking and have that energy. I'm more worried about this game than I was in the first two games, even though I think those two teams, at least coming into the season, were better than Atlanta. I think this is a difficult spot. I think the line movement, and I want to play something for you guys from Chad Millman, who's the head of the Action Network. I think the line movement also goes to show you that the people that do this for a living, that gamble on these games, they're on the Falcons this upcoming week.
So I'm torn because a part of me agrees with you, and we'll play the cut here in a second. The Sharps agree with you. Even before I hear the cut from Chad Millman, the line opened at 5.5, 5, depending on where you bet, and it's down to 3, 3.5, depending on where you bet, which would make you feel like the money's coming in on Atlanta. And I said yesterday, being on the side of Vegas is a good side to be on, but on a short week, primetime Kirk, like, it's hard for me to wrap my head around the sentence, and you're the one that always tells me to say it out loud test. Kirk Cousins on Sunday Night Football beats Patrick Mahomes is not a sentence that I expect to say at any point in my NFL life. So
you're 100% right, but to be fair, I would have never told you that Kirk Cousins was also going down the field with 2 minutes to go and no timeouts on Monday Night Football in Philadelphia either. So this Falcons team, I think, is pretty balanced. I think they have a top five running back room in the NFL. I think they've got decent pieces on the outside. I don't want to paint Atlanta like I think they're some juggernaut team, but I think this is a team that at home poses a pretty dangerous threat to Kansas City. I want to play this audio for you guys. This is Chad Millman. He was on Colin Cowherd's podcast. So every Friday he does his Sharper Square. He goes through some of the lines. This is one of my favorite podcasts of the week. And the Chiefs game came up. The line has been moving here. Here is Chad Millman, who is a professional bettor. Here is his logic for why he is taking Atlanta in this game.
Falcons +3.5 Sharper Square.
Totally sharp. The wise guys have been moving this. It was at 4.5, then to 4, now to 3.5. Would not be surprised if it gets down to 3. Two sides of the coin, both telling the same story, which is fade the Chiefs. On the one side, Patrick Mahomes, as a favorite of more than 3 points, historically, he is under 500. Now, of course, Patrick Mahomes is almost always a favorite and oftentimes a favorite of more than 3 points. So there is some, you know, take that with a grain of salt, but it is the fact. This offensive line is in trouble. They have injuries. They are sitting starters. They have guys who are causing too many penalties. Like you said, there are still some questions at the receiver positions, which she writes great, but outside of that, what is your downfield threat? We haven't seen it from more the other than some really cool trick plays. Mm-hmm. Pacheco, I think, is a massive problem being out. And Mahomes hasn't looked that good, right? You look at the Chiefs, the Ravens, a shoe toe away from being in that game and tying that game. You look at the Bengals, a fourth down pass interference against a rookie. The Chiefs could easily be 1-1 or 0-2. Number two, their rush defense, as great as Chris Jones is, their rush defense is amongst the worst in the league. We know the Falcons can run the ball. We just saw them do that against the Eagles. And even better than that, their right side of their line, especially their interior center and right guard, they are as good at run blocking as anybody in football. You are correct. With the wise guys, Atlanta, +3.5.
A couple of things based on what Chad Millman had to say. That was on the Colin Cowherd podcast. First thing, you can do the shoulda, coulda, woulda game for Kansas City. Absolutely. If Isaiah Likely steps in bounds, the Ravens go for two. Maybe they get it, maybe they don't. If the officials don't call the pass interference, you can absolutely do the shoulda, coulda, woulda game. You also have to be willing to do that for Atlanta as well, right? This is the same team that lost at home to the Pittsburgh Steelers 2 weeks ago. This is the same team that if Saquon Barkley catches the pass or the Eagles make the decision to run the ball, the Falcons probably lose on Monday night. So I'm with you. If you want to play the ifs and buts game for the Chiefs, you absolutely can in the first 2 weeks. You also have to do that for their opponent where the Falcons should probably be 0-2 heading into this, and you're talking about a team that is desperate to get a win because you can't fall three games back of the other teams in your division. So that reason falls a little bit on deaf ears to me. This is the comparison that I'll make for this game, and you guys tell me if you think I'm off here. 913-586-7965. This feels like a KU road game in conference play. I know the Eagles, or excuse me, the Falcons aren't in the Chiefs division. But Rob, you know how every year they go on the road to Iowa State, and it's a little bit of a spot, right? You know it's going to be a tough environment. Iowa State's a good team. If KU wins, they win in an absolute slugfest, or there's a possibility they get blown out. That's kind of what this game feels like to me. Now, I don't think the Chiefs get blown out. But I do think if you're looking at it objectively, there are reasons to pick against the Chiefs in this game. They're banged up right now. Left tackle situation. The Chiefs did not play well last week. That is a game way more than I think you can do with week one. The Chiefs probably should have lost last week. I think the confidence in this game is the confidence you have going into every single Chiefs game. Man, they got Patrick Mahomes. And if you're going to give me Patrick Mahomes and you're going to give me just a simple, do you think they win the game? Well, they win 65% of the times when he's their starting quarterback. The smart side is always that the Chiefs are going to win and figure this out. There's not going to be many games this season that make me feel uneasy about Kansas City. But this is one of the games, given what we saw last week from both of these teams, given the fact that the Chiefs are going on the road, given the fact that the Chiefs are banged up. If you were going to play the Chiefs, this is as good of a spot as any to play them. I don't know if that's going to be the case in week eight. It's certainly not late in the season as the Chiefs kind of wrap into form. If you're going to play Kansas City, this week three is probably the week you would pick.
I love your KU basketball analogy right there. I really do. Because it does feel like, you know, that early season, maybe not even Iowa State, maybe a team, a little lesser team, like a West Virginia. It seems like KU's always playing West Virginia in January. It's a dogfight or they're boat raced. And as a KU fan, before that game every year, you tell people, this game has a weird feeling. I know KU is better than West Virginia, but this game has an odd feeling. And that's when all you non-KU fans make fun of us. That's when you say, what are you talking about? You have blah, blah, blah. You have Bill Self. You'll be fine. And they lose that game, and, you know, it is what it is. That's kind of what I feel about this Falcons game. I think the Chiefs are the more talented roster. I think the Chiefs are better coached. I think the Chiefs have the better quarterback. I think the Chiefs are better in primetime. I think all the things about why the Chiefs should be better than the Falcons and are better than the Falcons, and everything tells you logically, why do I have any fear? Atlanta on a short week, there's reason after reason after reason to pick the Chiefs and logically say, oh yeah, they're the better team. But there is a feeling around this game. There is a, you know, it gives me pause. I was listening to Josh Briscoe earlier today on Cody and Gold, and he said there's an odd sensation about the Chiefs surrounding this game. And I can't put my finger on it other than just exactly what we said about KU basketball. There's a game every year where they're the better team and you just have a weird feeling and weird stuff starts happening. And we've seen that with the past and the Chiefs too, especially early in the season.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% with you here. Text line 913-586-7965. This game worries me a little bit. I didn't feel very worried. I remember last week I was overly confident about the Bengals, and you guys were trying to talk me out of being how confident I was against Cincinnati. I didn't think that Cincinnati could beat Kansas City. They came really close to doing it, but they didn't. Of the first four games of the season, this was the one that worried me, but at the beginning of the season, and now that we've seen both teams play two games, I haven't really been moved off that spot. The Falcons got a top five running back room. They have four or five, I would say, legitimate weapons on the outside. Atlanta is capable of winning this game at home on Sunday Night Football. Coming up on the other side, Rob and I are going to give you a parlay. We're going to give you a college football parlay to help you guys out. Also give you one for the NFL. And we'll also get back to the Kansas City Royals. Vern is going to join us in 20 minutes. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you. Coming up at the top of the hour, we are going to be joined by Josh Vernier. I also want to play something for you guys that our boss man Steven Spector had to say. We might start a new segment called Spector Says. He always has one interesting take on the game. Instead of me telling you it, we should just play for you what he had to say. All right, before we get to that, let me give you guys one college parlay that you should play this week. Let me give you one NFL parlay that you should play. So I'll give you a game. Rob will give you a pick. We'll do both in college and the NFL, and hopefully we make you a little bit of money. We made you guys money in week two of the college football season. I don't know why you're not listening to us. All right, Rob. For college football, I am going to take Alex Orji. For those of you who don't know who he is the starting quarterback now at Michigan. Now, he is a run-first quarterback. They had a different quarterback, Davis Warren. He got replaced. You know what the running quarterback does when things go wrong? He runs. This is not a game in which you think he's going to throw for a lot of yards. Think of him like a lesser version of Avery Johnson. One, two read. If it's not there, I'm going to take off. The lines usually are not reflective of that early on. So his rush yards are kind of low in this one. It's at 45 and a half. I'm taking the over. I actually think Michigan has a chance to pull off the upset here. I like USC. They are not Texas. USC is not going in to the Big House and rolling over the Wolverines. I think they're going to be scrappy. I think they're going to be far more competitive than they were a couple of weeks ago against the Longhorns. Give me Alex Orji. I'm going to take his over on rush yards.
I like LSU this weekend, minus 21.5. They are playing in Baton Rouge against UCLA. UCLA is real bad. I don't know if you saw it, and there was no reason to see it this weekend. UCLA at home lost to Indiana. Indiana. I know they're calling themselves 9-Windiana right now, but and that's a cute little saying, but Indiana should not be thumping you in the Rose Bowl. It's West team going east into a literal swamp in Baton Rouge. LSU minus 21.5. You play Orji over and LSU minus 21.5 over on our friends at FanDuel, and you get plus 271, Carrington.
All right, go ahead and take you a little plus 271. That's not bad action at all. All right, for my NFL bet this week, I'm going to go off the grid again. I'm not going to give you a game. I'm going to give you a pick. I'm going to give you Tank Dell over on rush yards. It's all about finding and exploiting something in the So you might be thinking, well, Tank Dell plays wide receiver. Factor this in. Joe Mixon banged up for this team, so they're not going to have their usual starting running back. What if I told you that so far this season, Tank Dell already has 51 rushing yards? You're telling me his over-under is at 5.5? He's also going to get the opportunities. So I think the number's way too low here. I think they use him in the run game. I think he has one or two rushes, and he gets at least 6 yards rushing. Give me the over for Tank Dell.
I will take the Detroit Lions minus 3. This feels like an overreaction line. The Cardinals were salty in week one against the Bills. They dominated the Rams last week. They are a better football team than we think, but the Lions had a bad week at home against Baker Mayfield, and I think they're being a little bit undervalued here. Everyone thinks the Lions are the better team. I think they bounce back. If I know I'm giving away a few points, but I like the Lions minus 3 at Arizona. You play Tank Dell rushing yards and the Lions minus 3. Play that and you get plus 244, Carrington.
All right, those are our two parlays for the weekend. We'll see how we do in college football and the NFL. I want to play this cut for you guys before we catch up with Vern. Vern's going to join us coming up in 10 minutes. We'll get back to the Kansas City Royals. So Speck and I have been talking a lot this week about the Chiefs game, and listen to what he said about Atlanta. He's got a theory.
Carrington, I hear you say this all the time. The NFL is a week-to-week matchup league. But the other factor in that is what happened last week in those teams' games, and are they looking potentially ahead to the following week's games? But last Monday night in that Falcons comeback win over the Eagles, that was good news for the Chiefs. Here are the two scenarios. The Falcons lose, they're 0-2, and they are absolutely desperate for a win at home on Sunday Night Football in their own building. Now they're 1-1. They had the absolute emotional high of the NFL, which is a two-minute drive, game-winning touchdown pass. Now they have to emotionally rebound, short week against the best team in the NFL. If you're a Chiefs fan, I think it's a good thing that the Falcons came back to beat the Eagles last week in 1-1 as opposed to being desperate at 0-2.
All right. It's an interesting theory by Steven Spector. Let's dive into this. 913-586-7965. I think it's a little bit of fun with endpoints, and you can kind of play the results. Because I think you can very easily spin it as in Atlanta is coming in with an emotional high back home after a game that they should have lost on Monday night. Like, if you're somebody who is a stickler for win probability, they should have lost on Monday night. Now, they didn't. They fought from behind. They won the game. Kudos to them. They're 1-1. But they should have lost. I'm probably going to side with, I don't agree with this when it comes to this take. I certainly understand the theory of it. If the Falcons were 0-2, they're a more dangerous team. I just don't think that part matters, at least not in this game. I'm much more worried about the Chiefs' ability to protect their quarterback in this game and their ability to run the football. That's really what I think it comes down to in this game. Are the Chiefs going to be balanced in this game? Are they going to win the line of scrimmage? They have, I would say, a pretty big question mark. You have question marks about Carson Steele. I can't make it seem like I know what he's going to do in this game or what his ceiling is in this game. And earlier today, the head coach of the team comes out and says that they have a rotation currently at left tackle. So my how the Chiefs lose this game is the Chiefs become one-dimensional and they also can't protect their quarterback. And that just kind of snowballs in a one-game sample size scenario. So I don't put too much stock into this, Speck, but I did find it interesting, Speck's theory on this.
I mean, I don't think it's the worst theory in the world. I mean, we saw what a back-into-the-wall team looked like last week in Kansas City. The Bengals were desperate to avoid 0-2. And frankly, they outplayed the Chiefs for 59 minutes, really all but one defensive pass interference play. I could argue that the Bengals outplayed the Chiefs. I think a team that got a little whoo moment, especially on a Monday night, a short week, a little more relaxed. Hey, people think we're still good because they were carrying expectations in the preseason. I think that team is far more vulnerable than a Falcons team that's 0-2, but I think it goes from the Falcons were a fear level of 7 to a fear level of 5.5. Like, I'd be scared no matter what, but there's still a sensation or a feeling around this Falcons team that has me a little bit flummoxed.
Let me ask you this question. Are the Chiefs the only team that would be favored in this scenario? So let's say San Francisco went on the road, and I understand their left tackle is a lot better than the Chiefs' left tackle. But if San Francisco was missing their left tackle and their running back, they would not be 3-point favorites in this game. Let's say it was the Lions, and they didn't have their left tackle, and you can pick David Montgomery or Jahmyr Gibbs was out for this game. I'm not sure if they would be favorites on the road against Atlanta. To me, the point spread is the ultimate sign of respect of, even though you are banged up right now going on the road where there usually is a home field advantage, we still consider you to be the favorite because you're Kansas City. And until proven otherwise, the expectation is always that the Chiefs are going to take care of business and win. And from a gambling perspective, there's only so many points you're going to give me with Patrick Mahomes on the other side where it's just, hey, the smart money is to be on the side of number 15. So it is a really interesting spot on both sides, whether it's the Chiefs as a slight favorite in this game or you're trying to get value of Atlanta being the underdog in this game. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to switch gears and talk some baseball. We're going to head to Kauffman Stadium and be joined by Josh Vernier as the Royals have their most important home series of the year against the San Francisco Giants. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.